Miss Shepherd, reel 4.
Was there any special diet
no.
that you had to have?
No, when they first picked me up, you know, from the when the doctor came along, and my mouth was fixed like that. By then, I was fixed like this. I was gradually fixing, you see. And all I could do was to just... So he said, have you a feeding cup? So he said, yeah. They said, yes. He said, well, whenever she opens her eyes, give her some brandy and milk. So I could see them, you know. I could. They used to get a glass like this and put brandy in it, fill it up to that, and then a little dash of milk. I used to put that in the feeding cup, and every time I opened my eyes, some of this would go in. And, you know, for 3 or 4 days, 3 or 4 or 5 days, that's what they used to do. And of course, by then, the doctors found I was going to get better. They were surprised because they told me afterwards they didn't think I would get better. They thought I was going to, you know, fade out. And... So one day when he was there and I wasn't too well, he said, quick, give me some brandy and milk. And he saw what they did. And so when I could talk and see, I said to him, yes, that's what it is. I've been drunk for 4 or 5 days. See, and I think it must have, I think really, there must have been something in that. Because then they decided to pull me straight because I was a bit turned round, you see, and so they... He said, now I'm going to give you some pain. And they put me a handkerchief in my mouth and they kind of pulled me straight. So then I was straight, you see. Otherwise, I was just turned round a bit. And they pulled me straight. There you are. That was that.
Did you suffer any after effects?
Did you continue
to have pain and difficulty?
Oh, yes. For about 2 years, I used to have to carry a cushion round with me, a special cushion round with me to sit on. Because you see, I in the bottom of my spine, because I had paralysis of the spine. But it wasn't until about, 20 years afterwards that I had to, because I had such pains in my back, and I had to have an X-ray, and they said, you've got a fracture, you've had a fracture. And it was the fourth lumbar, evidently had been, that's what had been wrong, you see.
Do you think you've suffered ill effects from that?
Oh yes, I think so, because that's all been the weakness all my life, this the bottom of the back, because you see, I had not only this spinal paralysis but concussion of the pelvis and a lot of other, you know, minor things. Oh yes, but
you went back up in a balloon.
Oh yes, afterwards. Oh yes, because I didn't want to lose my nerve. Oh yes, I signed a contract before I could, you know, before I could walk to go up again. I knew that would, you know, keep me going, give me an urge to get better. It was when I did go, a doctor and a nurse came to see me go up, but it was perfectly all right. I had a lovely ascent and descent. That was the time when they had to play me in, you see, after the accident, when they had. And I couldn't get out of the station.
Did you become more famous and more interesting to people because you had...
Well, I suppose so. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. And I think particularly so because I carried on. I expect that's what it was, really. But then the very last time I went up, I went up very high, I don't know, I suppose about 12,000 feet, something like that. And... It sounds stupid, but you know, I'm sure I heard a voice saying, don't come up again, don't come up again. And when I came down, I gave all my things away, to do, you know, my hat and my Union Jack, all the things. I never went up again. And that was that. And then, of course, the war came on.
That was about 1913?
1913, I finished up, yes.
When was it that your mother went up?
Oh, well, that was during my accident, you see. I mean, I didn't know anything about that until she, you know, she just did. I think it was just a slip-off. Must have been a slip-off, the balloon. He wouldn't have allowed anybody to do it unless they were practiced. But she never let on to me.
You never knew?
No. No, never knew.
Until after she died. When you went up with Captain Maitland, was that on one of your...
He was Lieutenant Maitland then. Mm-hmm.
Was that on one of your ascents at a fair, or was that a special
project? Oh, no, that was the very first air exhibition in Wolverhampton. They had an air week, right through the week. And it was then, you see, that he came along, because then it was becoming fashionable. They were going to thinking about the RFC, they were thinking about it. That was the time when they had that. And then he came there. No, that was the first week in Wolverhampton.
Were you confident that Gaudron and Cody knew what they were doing?
Oh, yes, they were experienced. It was their, you know, their ambition. I mean, after all, it was Gaudron's living. Gaudron and Spencer were the very well-known aeronautical.
Cody was experimenting with kites.
Oh yes, kites
balloons.
First.
Did you ever go up in any of them?
Oh no, only just stepping in and playing about, you know, just fooling around. Not a serious, I never made a serious flight with him. Oh no, no.
Cody believed that it was bad luck to wear green. When you were going
well,
up.
He never said that to me. I never heard him say that. No, I never heard him say that. No, I mean, I don't think... No, well, you see, I had no occasion for him. And, well, anyhow, we never wore green. It was always blue and gold. Always.
When did you become interested in gliders? Was that the same time as you were ballooning?
In who?
In gliders.
Oh, yes, the same time, yes, yes. Oh, yes. It all sprang from that, you see. I mean, you meet one person, you meet another person, and they said, what about this? I'm making a glider, would you like to go off? And it was at Box Hill, you know, in Leatherhead, Surrey. We went off Box Hill. And, of course, if you dropped your gear then into a farmer's field, you had to pay him £5 or whatever damage you did to his field. You had to pay that before you got your gear back. But of course, everything then, it was made of bamboo and sailcloth, as were the old aircraft, you see. Yes,
who were you working with on the gliders?
I wasn't working with anyone. It was quite a private affair. So it was a friend of mine who was making it.
Who were you involved with?
Oh, only with Captain Turnbull. But I mean, he was, you know, he wasn't in the aeronautical world. He was making it as an experiment. Oh, yes, that was just an experiment.
Was there any way in which your experience in the air could help give him ideas for developing his glider?
I don't think so. Because he'd seen me go up so many times. And I know he knew that I was very experienced. I was experienced and interested. That's why it was. But you see, the war came then. That put an end to all that.
Did the war come before you actually had an opportunity to go up in a glider?
Well, serious gliding, yes, yes. Because he was going to put a Gnome engine in one cylinder Gnome. But no, the war came then, you see, and so I mean that put paid to it. Bird watching, we used to call it bird watching, because of getting the for landing, especially for landing and takeoff. See, the shape
of their wings.
Yes, the shape of their wings and how they landed. You see, because of the volume of air coming through. You see. Oh, was that? I can't describe it, but I know how.
And then, how could you transfer that to balsa wood and sailcloth?
Well, because they used to cut it and make it into five pieces. You see, imitate the bird's wings, and put some pieces of cord and tie it in and see how that worked. You know, you worked week by week just to see. whether it worked better. It was getting better and better all the time.
Were the wings fixed in position, or could you move them?
You could move them.
To mimic a bird.
Move them. Move them. Oh yes, all movable.
Actually, though, that idea must have been abandoned, the idea of movable wings.
Well, I think it's the same thing. I noticed today they do the same thing.
Gliders?
In gliding and in aeroplanes, not Concorde or anything like that. But, I mean, every time I've been up, I've watched for that and the make of them, and they've still got that same shape. Oh, yes, it's very interesting, really, to see it. Now, out of that, it's... out of little, what is that, out of acorns, a big oak grows, and that's what it is, you see, it's just, I mean, thousands of girls today, well, hundreds go up and jump out. I envy them their harness now, because I'd have loved that, because they can jump up and it's gathered. Still, I suppose we had to do
well,
something.
Somebody has to do it first.
Yes, yes. Yes.
Did your family ever come to watch you?
No, only my father. He was the only one. The other ones wouldn't come. They were always afraid, you see. I suppose they didn't want to pick up the pieces. Oh, no, he didn't mind.
How much were you paid for these ascents?
£2.10. Yes, £2.10. And sometimes you went, some cases I got £5. But £2.10 was the usual. And, of course, you had all your hotel expenses paid, first-class fare. Everything was paid, and you were treated very well. And, but you had £2.10, which was quite a lot in those days.
Yes.
£2.10 was quite a lot, I suppose, what...
That's more than many people earned in a week.
No, yeah, then. Yes, yes.
How often did you make the balloon ascent?
Well, it was all according to the fate. Sometimes it would be 3 times a week. Sometimes it would be once or twice. You see, it was all according to where the flower show or the fates were. Various places. And you see, as I was living with my auntie, and she didn't approve of it at all, I used to have to tell the biggest lies to get away. I used to say that I was going home and wanted to see my parents, you see, because she didn't like it at all. And so, in that case, I never spoke of it. And I think that's why I've always been so reluctant to talk about it, because of that. Until a friend of hers was once going to write a book, and then she thought, would you tell her? It was labelled Lady Sybil Grant was writing a book, and she wanted me to tell her, so I wouldn't. I never did.
Do you think that people like your aunt thought it was improper for
yes,
a young woman?
Yes, very improper. Oh, yes. Mountebank, as she called it. Oh, yes, very improper. It was almost like the theatre, you see.
Were you able to fool her?
Pardon?
Were you able to fool her? Did she think you actually went home? Or was she not tricked by your lies?
No, I think she knew. But she didn't want to. Mm-hmm. She didn't want to, yes. But once when I had a bad fall, it was funny. She was up having a holiday with my mother. And I told you, she kept a feather factory, so the feather emporium. And I was going up on this Saturday. And so I went up and I had a nasty fall. I was knocked about a lot. And the papers the next morning, right across the papers, Miss Shepherd narrowly escapes death. And I went down to see her in Clacton and I could see the Sunday paper there. I said, beast defiled, and I got hold of this paper and I tore it into little teeny tiny shreds so she shouldn't see it. And then she was telling me something about the holiday, and she was saying, now would you believe so and so? And of course, my leg was hurting. I can just wear a bruise, black and blue. And she put her hand every time, and was kind of wincing, but she didn't know it. So No, that was funny. I mean, so I don't think she ever saw those headlines, but it was right across the Sunday papers. Oh, dear.
Were you quite well known?
Oh, yes.
Did people recognise you?
Oh, yes. All I used to say, I used to give them a good show, I think.
Did you get letters from people?
Oh, yes. Senior? Oh, yes. Lots of them. Oh, yes. They used to call me the Parachute Queen. And, a lot of flattering things, you know. Lots of boys used to flatter me, and as they would do. But, no, it was exciting while it lasted, and it was a good time. It was part of my life.
Did people...